So as an Amazon seller or an e-commerce brand owner, one of the most important and sometimes stressful things you're going to need to do is to calculate your landed cost of goods sold for your products, right? You secured the product either by directly manufacturing it or grabbing it from your factory in Asia or from some other supplier. And then it gets really complicated because we have inventory that live in different warehouses. Often we have a 3PL, maybe a native warehouse, plus the Amazon FBA network. And so calculating that amount of cost of goods sold that needs to be expensed every single month is like surprisingly challenging. You might think, especially if you're a seller that has, 5 or 10 or 15 products, you have a small portfolio, the temptation is to think this should be easy. Why can't I figure this out? But I just want to make you feel normal. This is the deep end of the pool. And this is really, really important. And so that's what today's episode of Return on Podcast. Remember, this is the mini series, Mind Your Business. Of course, I'm Tyler. And before we dive into the screen share part of this, I just want to tell you why this is important. Just give you the quick, why should you care? We'll dive into the content and show you exactly how the pros here at Seller Accountant calculate landed cost of goods sold, some of the things you want to kind of avoid in terms of errors that you can make. And then I'm going to tease a great interview I have on how to do the hardest part of this, which is the inventory reconciliation. That'll be next week's episode. But to start here, here's why you care. You want there, I'm going to give you three reasons, three quick reasons why this is really important. You've got to get dialed in to understanding how to calculate your landed cost of goods sold. The first one's kind of obvious, but you want to be able to file your taxes with confidence, right? If you've got really bad inventory and cost of goods sold accounting, you're going to be tempted to either be kind of not sure, Lord, please don't let me have an audit. I might be in trouble here. Or you might be tempted to not take enough deductions. Just you want to file your taxes right. In order to do that, you need to have good books. The second reason, which in my mind is probably the most important reason, is you want to be able to actually use the numbers in your business to drive your business towards the results you want. What I'm trying to say here is I want to get over there, and I don't know how to get over there unless I can navigate using the visibility of my numbers, and my books are an important part of that. So if I have garbage accounting where my cost of goods sold doesn't make any sense, then I'm not going to know which pivots to make. And if you guys were dialed into the video we did a couple weeks ago about the comparing these two brands, the one that had really, really high cost of goods sold, meaning they had very low profit margins, should be very stressed right now going into the new year. The one that had really great margins, which corresponds with lower cost of goods sold, is in a much stronger position to hit the accelerator and try to grow and scale. So that's the second reason. So I can drive my business, improve my cash flow, improve my profitability, that kind of thing. The third reason I'm going to give you for the why should I care about my cost of goods sold is, guys, one day you're going to want to sell this thing. I realize as we close 2023 and get into 2024 that it's not a real sexy market for exiting right now, but it's going to get better. And in the next 2 years, you're going to have a moment where it's time to exit your brand. Maybe it's 5 years. I don't know what the timeline is. And the most difficult, and I'm not even kidding, guys, it's not even close. The most difficult part of your due diligence journey is going to be to convince your investor that your cost of goods sold and inventory accounting is accurate. And so having a good method that's consistent, that's done properly, that is defendable is really crucial now. Obviously, you want to make more money now, but also you want to be able to get a higher multiple when you exit. So those are three reasons why you should care about your cost of goods sold. And now what we're going to do is we're going to dive into a screen share version of this video where I'm going to show you exactly how the pros here at Seller Accountant do this cost of goods sold. You guys know this, but if you run into issues, call us. We'd love to help you if the cost of goods sold has become overwhelming. But again, welcome to ROP. It's time to maximize profitability and cash flow. It's time to learn habits and hacks from the best e-com CEOs. It's time for Return on Podcast with me, Tyler Jeffcoat. All right, before we dive into the math, an important clarification for what we mean by cost of goods sold. I'm showing you, if you're looking at the screen here on YouTube, an example of a profit and loss statement. And I just want to clarify that there is a difference. And by the way, us accountant jerks have made this harder than it needs to be. But there is a difference between the section of your profit and loss statement called cost of goods sold. That's all of the directly attributable cost. Anything that I can directly attribute to a unit that's sold. At Seller Accountant, we include a lot of our logistics charges. We include Amazon and marketplace fees. And we actually include some of our storage costs and some of our advertising in this area because we want to understand what true gross profit is. That's the section called cost of goods sold. What I'm talking about in this video is the line item called cost of goods sold, the actual product cost of goods sold. What did it cost me to bring the product into my warehouse or into the FBA warehouse so that when I sell 100 units of it next month, I can expense the right amount. Okay, let me start with a little bit of theory here, get my face out of the way. Just remember quickly that if you are not putting your purchases into an inventory asset account, you're probably doing it wrong, right? The right way to do it is when I either have an accounts payable or I use my credit card or I send a check, that purchase goes into an inventory asset and it sits there until I sell the units. In 3 months, when I actually sell that unit, I expense the inventory in the form of cost of goods sold. If I cut out the inventory asset part of this, I'm just doing my books on a cash basis. And yes, that's a little bit easier, but it's a lot worse in terms of the three things I mentioned to you earlier: taxes, profitability, and your exit value. So we're going to do it right. I'm going to teach you how to put it right. When you spend money, it goes in inventory. Now let me teach you how much to pull out of inventory each month. Okay? So think about it this way. Theoretically, I've spent a pile of cash. I had a factory invoice. I had some duties. I had some ocean freight. I had some tariffs. And it resulted in a big pile of money that I paid to secure my units. The question is, how much of that big pile of money should I put on each unit, right? I mean, this month, Tyler, I only sold one of my mugs. How much should I expense for the one mug? And so the example on the screen here is a really simple spreadsheet that we maybe would use here at Seller Accountant, where you're going to make a list of each of your SKUs, and you're going to basically do the simple math to understand what your factory cost of goods sold is. That's just the invoice from the factory. But then you're going to choose to do a simple, we call it loading or landing of those units by adding a small fraction of that duty charge. You're going to add a small fraction of the ocean freight, and you're going to add a small fraction of the tariff. Any other expenses that you want to choose, and by the way, this is really, really important. We go back down to our illustration here. Any expense that you're going to put into your spreadsheet to calculate what each unit is worth really needs to go into the inventory asset, right? If I'm going to put my inbound freight as a landed part of my landed cost of goods sold, because by the way, you don't have to. If it's a real pain in the ass to do that, you may choose to just expense that freight cost and then have a less precise but slightly easier definition of the monthly cost of goods sold. You can do a lot of things, whether you should or not. You probably need to talk to a pro or a CFO like myself. But like, it just has to be a closed wheel. Whatever you're going to expense with your COGS each month has to be the same things, apples to apples, that go into the inventory account when you make the purchases, okay? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a spreadsheet, and I want to make this as simple as possible. I don't know exactly what percentage of my freight bill went to each and every unit. I mean, I might be able to get use some kind of a cubic inches or whatever, cubic centimeter, is it right? I might be able to find a way to find out exactly what it is. But if I don't have that way easily, I'm going to simplify it. And I'm just going to apply a certain percentage for, you know, if I bought, in this situation, I bought 3,000 units. I'm just going to take those freight costs and divide them by 3,000 units and put a little bit on each of the units. If you have a catalog where you have a really, really heavy, large piece of furniture, for instance, but you're also selling an accessory like a pillow, you may have to be more dialed in with this because there's a disproportionate amount of your freight that's in the larger item versus the smaller. But for most sellers out there, your products fall roughly in the same size, and it doesn't make sense to go through all the effort of trying to chase down each and every fraction of your freight. So you're going to come up with what's going to ultimately be your factory cost of goods sold plus the small fractions of duties, tariffs, and ocean freight. And that's going to leave you with your true or landed cost of goods sold, right? And then you're going to just figure out how many units you sold in a month. Maybe you sold 10 units. And so at the end of the month, you're going to use that to calculate your cost of goods sold. Really simple, right? I don't want to make this too complicated because it doesn't have to be complicated, right? I'm going to calculate what my cost of goods sold was for the given month, you know? And then here's the kicker. The right way to do this for 99% of e-commerce brands out there, I'm saying if you're sub 50 million in revenue, most of you need to be doing what I just showed you. You're going to calculate some kind of a simple but fairly accurate average value for each unit, and you're going to expense exactly the number of units that you shipped in a given month. You can get that data out of Shopify or Amazon, And then what's going to have to happen to make sure your books are accurate is a couple times a year, maybe quarterly. If you're really simple, maybe only a couple times a year, but you're going to do what's called an inventory reconciliation. And this is the process of making sure that what I still have on my balance sheet in the form of inventory is pretty darn accurate, right? The only way that I can make sure that I feel great about the estimates I've made for each unit is to go back and check my work periodically. Normally, our best practice at Seller Accountant is to do that quarterly. If you're a really large seller, you may want to do it monthly. And we do that for our larger sellers. So it just depends on what they need. I want to give you a quick nugget before we close this episode on FIFO, right? So one of the catchwords you hear, again, because of accounting boys out there like me, is, hey, your inventory and cost of goods sold need to be stated on a FIFO or first in, first out basis. And if you think about this theoretically, if I could like graph this, the first unit that I bought a year ago is the next one I'm going to sell. Even though they all look the same, they're all the red mug, I'm going to do the first one that came into my warehouse is going to be the first one to go out. And that's great. But when you have, 100 different FCs within Amazon's network and you have your 3PL that sends products all over the country, unless you have extremely good inventory management software, which please, for the love of all that is good and holy, don't run unit level inventory management within your QuickBooks Online account. That is a big mistake. Zero also. They're just not well designed for e-commerce businesses. But unless you have extremely dialed in processes for your inventory management, you're going to have a really hard time getting a true FIFO, because it's going to be hard to know at 2 a.m. in the morning on Wednesday, the first PO that I ordered, that first run, is going to officially run out, and now I'm going to switch my cost up 25 cents per unit to the next one. That you're going to beat your head against the wall. What you're going to do instead is what I showed you in this episode, which is I'm going to calculate an accurate but fairly simple landed cost of goods sold per unit. I'm going to multiply that times the number of units I actually shipped in a month. That's going to give me my COGS each month. That's going to be on an accrual basis. That's going to be 95, 97% accurate. And then once, twice, three, four times a year, if I'm really large, maybe every month, I'm going to go back and reconcile the inventory to make sure it's accurate and that my books are clean. So again, if this is something that really overwhelms you, you're like, dude, I hate everything you just said. I can't believe that I'm, 9 or 10 minutes into this video or into this podcast. If that's you, please reach out to Seller Accountant, selleraccountant.com. We do this every day for all of our e-commerce brands, and we would love to help you. Maybe less expensive than you think it is. But for those of you guys just getting started out, don't overcomplicate this. Don't be stressed out about this, but do it as correctly as you can so that you can feel confident with your taxes, maximize your profitability and cash flow, and you can sell the business someday for a higher multiple than you would if you're doing bad accounting. So I'm going to close the episode of that. Guys, join us next week. I have a treat for you. I'm going to be interviewing the best, the strongest inventory management person on my team. Literally out of the entire Seller Accountant team, Savannah is our czar. She is the one that has dealt with the worst inventory problems, has helped untangle the most stressful, kind of reconciliations and adjustments. And she is the one that you're going to want to listen to in terms of mistakes to avoid, the habits and hacks and the kind of thing that's going to make this feel a lot easier for you going into 2024. So you can file your taxes and not need to be stressed out about it. But until then, have a great week. Cheers.